Well, good morning, everyone. This morning's sermon text is taken from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 10, verse 36. It reads, "And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." Question: what happens when people don't speak up? The change that people want to see occur simply doesn't. Well, today you may see now more than ever people speaking out against things that they don't agree with. On the news, you see many protesters waving signs for certain causes. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are commanded by the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to take part in God's cause, the Great Commission, to plant seeds of faith in Christ to our friends, to our co-workers, to people on the streets, but more importantly, to our families. You see, God wants our family members to be a part of His heavenly royal family. In fact, it should be a believer's top priority to try to win our family's souls for Christ. It's a believer's responsibility. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 read, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Sharing the good news with family should be quite easy because of the opportunities we have talking and connecting with them. But most of the time, many Christians are just not good stewards of the gospel because of a fear of causing a division within the family. Well, let's see what Jesus has to say as He sends out His 12 apostles out into the mission field. I want to begin reading in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 to 39. This is what Jesus says. "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Let's get realistic. Not all families are like the Brady Bunch. Families, more often than not, drift apart because of work or different interests, hobbies, activities, money. Some that hold grudges, differences of opinion on things concerning faith or equal rights or anything. Many of these things can cause divisions. Well, we just read that Jesus will cause divisions in the family as well. God's intention is that all men be saved through faith in Jesus. But this isn't always the case because many reject the truth for their own false truth. Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace on earth." And it's true. Jesus didn't come to take away our trials
or our tribulations. He didn't come to offer some sort of false peace that everything will be okay with this life on earth. That this life will be the best life ever. Wrong. Genesis 6:12 reads, "So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth." The peace that the world wants is basically to do whatever they wish and be free from worry, no matter how sinful it is. Isaiah 48:22 says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." Continuing on in Isaiah 57:20 reads, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." First John 2:16 reads, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And Romans 8:6 reads, "For to be carnally minded is death, worldly minded, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." The peace believers have is bestowed through Christ. We have a peace that our eternal security is secure, never to be taken away. Romans 5:1 reads, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." But Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Jesus. And by His stripes, we are healed. You know, praise God for the peace that only that He can give and not the world. The main issue with the world is that people get so offended now over anything. It's like we're becoming more and more sensitive to anything and everything. Whatever happened to tough love? Gone. I'm sure there are people that you know that may be offended that you attend church because they feel there is no need for it. The question is, what do most people do individually when we don't want to offend anyone? We simply shut our mouths and we don't say anything. Well, Jesus had no problem offending anybody because what He spoke was absolute truth. For example, when Jesus spoke at a synagogue in Nazareth, people wanted to kill Him for the claims that He made, that He was the Messiah fulfilled in a prophecy. So let's read about the people's reaction towards Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verses 28 through 30 read, "So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust Him out of the city. And they led Him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw Him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, He went His way." So the words He spoke offended them so much that they wanted to kill Him. They wanted Him dead right then and there. Jesus also offended the scribes, Pharisees, many times. On one such occasion, Jesus called them hypocrites because of their traditions. Let's take you to that. Matthew 15, verses 12 through 14 read, "Then his disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Every person without Christ is right in their own eyes until they're ready to fall into the eternal ditch.'" How about when Jesus' own disciples were offended? They were like family to him. He spent most of his time with them. Well, they complained about the things Jesus taught and thought it was too hard to understand or too offensive, or that simply many would just not believe it. Let's take it to that. John chapter 6, verses 60 through 64. It reads, "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, 'Does this offend you? What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe.'" You see, many people are so offended by the truth of the gospel. For one, because it takes away any credit that we may want for ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit that gives life, not dead flesh. The flesh profits nothing. And many people stumble over that. It's Jesus' sacrifice that matters, not ours. He's the Holy One, not us. Believers are saved in Christ alone, in His work alone, not ours. That is truth amongst other truths preached from this pulpit. You can take a hard look at yourself and accept the truth, or like others have in the past, reject it and walk away. But either way, God's truth doesn't change. So Christ did not come to bring peace, but a sword. The sword represents truth. The gospel. The gospel in itself is offensive because it cuts to the heart of a person. It shows a person their true colors in the eyes of God. It shows that they are just like every other sinner on this earth. Filthy. Filthy. Hebrews 4 verses 12 and 13 read, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow,
and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. What about that last statement? To the eyes of him who we must give account. God cannot lie. And whether we like it or not, Judgment Day is coming. The Bible states that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess Jesus as Lord. So believers, we need to do whatever is possible to get our own family on board before it's too late. Believe me, I know it's a struggle. The question is, brothers and sisters, will you be bold enough to share the gospel with your families? To share a truth that is offensive to others, even to those of your own household? Will you take a stand for God? Or will you back down because you simply do not want to offend? Friends, believers, we cannot afford to go on as unfaithful ministers to our families. We have a responsibility to be the bearer of bad news to them. The bad news I speak about is that they are not good enough to go to heaven on their own. Or they are not going to heaven because they were baptized as a baby. Or they are not going to heaven because of all the good deeds that they have done for others. And they are not going to heaven worshiping other gods that are not gods at all, but false idols. The fact is that if an accountable soul doesn't have the living God, Jesus, as Lord and Savior in their life, they're heading to hell. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Believers, as followers of Christ, we need to warn our families for what is to come when we die. Truly, if you are afraid to say something to your family member because you do not want to offend, then you are demonstrating before a holy God who is more important. Verses 37 and 38. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Believers, you need to sound the alarm for what is heading their way, just as you would if that person had some sort of addiction. Would you watch them fall? Or demonstrate some compassion and help them get off that path to destruction? Oh, in the unbeliever's case, that path of destruction is eternal hell. Please don't hesitate until their dying day, or when all the fog is cleared in their lives. We can't be like the watchman on the Titanic yelling, iceberg, straight ahead, when it's too late and they hit it. There's no better time than now. Take you to a passage in Ezekiel Ezekiel 33, verses 6 and 7 read, "But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from..." "And the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me." Jesus preached the kingdom of God in word and in deed. This is what we need to do with our families and our relatives as well. Our families see us and they know us better than any other people. The question is, do they see a Christ-like holiness in you? Do they see you read your Bible? Do they see you pray? Do they see a compassionate heart for others? In believers, we should hope so. I'm sure that they also see you and I fall short of God's standards in word and deed as well. Brothers and sisters, don't beat yourself up over it. No one is perfect. The flesh will never be easy to overcome. Why do you think we need the triune God? To help us. Some struggles may persist, but as we continue to grow in God's grace and mercy and continue to abide in the Holy Spirit within us, hopefully those times we fall become less and less and less. You see, we are in a process of losing our lives and finding His. We must decrease as God increases in our lives. There will be times when your family will find fault with your actions or your words, not being too Christ-like. Maybe God is using them to help you. But also consider that God is using you to help them. Remain humble, my friends. The best thing you can do is confess your sins and continue preaching your need for Jesus to them and theirs as well. Continue to pray for them. Pray that the seed planted in their hearts will take root through the Holy Spirit. Remember, you were once without Christ as well. Continue to be patient with God's work in their hearts and in yours. Don't give up on witnessing to your family, no matter what backlash or division may occur. Only God is absolute holy. That's not you and I. Don't compare yourself to other men or compare yourself to Christ. Hopefully, our families that don't know Christ will continue to see Him more and more through you, through your example. Let God's sovereign love take care of things. And again, don't beat yourself up, but He does want to use you to plant the seed. If you have, dust off your feet and leave it all in God's hands. But continue try to be Christ-like to them. In conclusion, I would like to share a poem entitled "I Am When I Say I Am a Christian" by Carol Wimmer. It reads, "When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not shouting I've been saved. I'm whispering I get lost. That's why I chose this way. When I say I'm a Christian, I don't speak with human pride. I'm confessing that I stumble, needing God to to be my guide. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not trying to be strong. I'm professing that I'm weak and pray for strength to carry on. When I say I am a Christian, I'm not bragging of success. I'm admitting that I've failed and cannot ever pay the debt. When I say I'm a Christian, I don't think I know it all. I submit to my confusion, asking humbly to be taught. When I say I am a Christian, I'm not claiming to be perfect. My flaws are far too visible, but God believes I'm worth it. When I say I'm a Christian, I still feel the sting of pain. I have my share of heartache, which is why I seek His name. When I say I'm a Christian, I do not wish to judge. I have no authority. I only know I'm loved. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, first and foremost, thank you so much for your love, sending your only begotten Son for us sinners. Only His sacrifice matters. Only His sacrifice redeems. And we are so grateful, Father, for His example as well that He has given us. Father, I want to pray for the members of our families that are lost, that are without hope. Father, I pray that you break their hearts in some way. I pray that you help them through their struggles. I pray that you take away any stumbling blocks that they may have and strip away any form of pride. Father, I pray that they see the light in one shape or form through us or through other things, but that they come to the truth and knowledge of the Savior. Father, I thank you, Father, for continue working in us believers. Father, I pray that we become more diligent in our ministering the gospel to not only our families, but everyone. Thank you, Father, for stripping away the ungodly attributes in us. Continue to work in us. Father, I pray that you continue to make us more and more bold, and we continue to speak for you. This I ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. Now at this time, offer one another a sign of peace.